Corey, the king of controversy. Brennan Dunn, the mayor. We are definitely in the building today. A major conversation piece today. We're going to be definitely busted up. We're going to have two conversations that we're going to be talking about a little later on in the show. The first one we're going to be talking about, if you identify, self-identify as being Black or African-American, should you teach your children to be patriotic and to pledge allegiance to the flag? Old glory, the patriotic oath, all that nonsense. Second conversation piece we're going to be dealing in and dealing with is, does Willie Lynch, the spooky god, still control the minds of people that are non-European in America? Or is that just an excuse? You know, we have a lot of people that have blamed the issues of our community on Willie Lynch, and a lot of people seem to know an awful lot about Willie Lynch. But if they knew so much about Willie Lynch, would he still be able to affect the outcome in so many lives of people that are categorized as non-European? Well, we'll check it out and we'll bust that up a little later on in the show. If anybody wants to call in and have these conversations today about the flag, old glory, and if you feel like you Black African-American and you feel as though your child should pledge allegiance to the flag and does pledge allegiance to the flag, because I know majority of y'all out there do. I mean, all these pro-Black conscious folks, all of your children are more than likely out there standing up, hand across their chest, saying the Pledge of Allegiance and singing the national anthem. So don't even front. I know how y'all are, because most of y'all, heck, y'all UK fans, you know, when I put that post out there today about UK fans, you know, it's kind of a jab at people, but it just kind of trips me out that so many people are so pro-Black and so in touch with their Blackness, but yet they are diehard UK fans. How can you have allegiance to anything in America and be pro-Black? Any type of allegiance, I don't care if it's a sports team, I don't care if it's the Pledge of Allegiance, you can't be pro-Black and this pro-Black warrior and have so many alliances and allegiance to America. Just nonsense. I'd like to also talk to y'all about the Guardian Project, give y'all a Guardian Project update. The Guardian Project is a project that we have created to make sure and ensure that we are in fact our brother's keeper by making sure that our youth are not out late night on the block. You know, now I understand that this isn't something that we can force upon children under the age of 18, but as I feel like I am my brother's keeper, I feel like it's important for me to be out and mentor, and not just mentor where it's safe. But if there's something going on at nighttime, after hours, in areas where our youth don't need to be, I think that that's important for us to make sure that they're not out there. You know, so, you know, we have patrols. We are not the police. We do not police the community. What we do is we patrol and we make sure that everybody in our community is going to be safe. And if they need help, we're going to be out there to help them. So if you want to know more about the Guardian Project and actually be a guardian, you can hit us up on the Resolve hotline at 859-429-2114. Once again, that's the Resolve hotline, and that's 859-429-2114. Also tonight, there's going to be Brother to Brother at William Wells Brown at 7:30. So if you don't have anything to do, or if you do have something to do and you want to be a part of the solution instead of being part of the problem, make sure you come to William Wells Brown today, 7:30, and check in with your peoples. You know, there's going to be a lot of youth there. A lot of our young folks definitely need to hear from our older folks. So make sure y'all come through and support the youth. Like I said, if you are not part of the problem, I mean part of the solution, you are definitely the problem. So be a part of the solution. And I'm not just saying if you don't make it tonight and you're not mentoring at William Wells Brown that you part of the problem, because you could possibly be doing something else positive in the community. But I would like to see more of our brothers out putting in that work. What's good with you, big guy?
Oh man, just got off the highway. I was listening to what you was talking about with the brother to brother and all that. We need soldiers. We don't need people. We don't need numbers. We don't need individuals who's going to show up and say, back in my day, I did this in the 60s and the 70s. And you know, them kids don't care nothing about that. So my thought process for real is if you're going to show up to brother or any other group from here on out, bring something to the table. You feel me? Like actually bring something to the table. We don't need people telling you old war stories and telling kids why they should do this and that. We shouldn't tell them why they have to compete against it. My thing is that everybody, well, we're going to get into this later in the show, but the majority of people ain't mentally stable enough to be speaking to these young men who are mentally unstable. Too crazy, folks. You're going to have an extra crazy mess. So we don't need mentally ill individuals leading impressionable youth and having negative outcomes or consequences. So my thing is, if you're going to be there, I would encourage people to sit, watch, and listen before they just jump up and get involved, because a lot of people get involved and start talking about stuff they don't know what they're talking about.
You heard that?
No, I'm not saying don't come. I'm not trying to put a negative light on it, because the group is beautiful, but sometimes when you get a whole lot of chiefs and not enough Indians, that, you know, it becomes an adult. Let's compete with each other as opposed to hear from the youth.
Hey, that's peace. And also, before we get into this real quick, you know, we definitely got touch base on it. You know, I just look at it as, I guess we could put a title on it, how quick we forget. Off season, preseason, week one, week two, week three, whenever. The NFL owners were the one blackballing Colin Kaepernick. Trump made a comment. A lot of people might not have liked it. But then all of a sudden, the owners, the coaches, and the players want to protest what? They just want to show unity and show some type of allegiance towards the National Football Team, the National Football League, that same National Football League that was blackballing Colin Kaepernick due to his stance on the Black Power Movement. It ain't gone nowhere, so let's call it the Black Power Movement. But now everybody want to look at it as though now it's the let's all get along type of movement. When I look at it as, heck, the owners are just as racist as Trump. So now people are now talking about, oh, yeah, the NFL is unified. Well, does Colin Kaepernick have a job yet? So how quick we forget that the racist owners are the reason that there's been a boycott in the non-European community not to watch NFL. And that's the real reason why the ratings are low. It ain't because of the hurricane. It ain't because people don't like the fact that you have non-Europeans protesting. That's not the case. The case is that most of the folks in the what they want to identify as Black or African-American community decided, we are not going to watch football until y'all do Colin Kaepernick right. And it brought the ratings down. So, but you know, I just wanted to throw it out there just to have a quick thing about people being out there. Man, those racist owners don't care nothing about money. They care nothing about anything but money. Point blank, period. They don't care about no unification.
Once you get so much money, it ain't even about money. It's about power and control. When you own an NFL team, you're a billionaire, multi-millionaire. It's about control. They got the money. Now it's just about power and doing whatever the heck they want. They care less about anybody else.
Earlier today, you spoke about people being sick and emotionally not stable when we was talking about brother to brother. And, you know, when I was looking at that Kaneta Jenkins thing, you know, everything went viral. It's the young girl that was found in the freezer in Chicago in the hotel. The very first thing people start doing was talking about how you could see through this girl's glasses, and the black males in the room was aggressive. You can hear her calling for help. They was killing her, you know, and the girl that was on the video, she looked like a monkey and she was ugly. I mean, just anything that they possibly could to destroy the black male, because when you got people like that, you're dealing in race. So you want to talk about race relations, and everybody's talking about being racially profiled, but dang, look at us as a people, how quick we were to racially profile the men that was in that room. You know, so one thing also going on along with that I would like to tell and have parents do is, let them know, parents, be parents before it's too late. So here you have a mother that is upset because her daughter was found in a freezer 2 days or a day later after the fact, after she died, instead of being upset that her daughter was at a kickback, possibly drinking lean, smoking weed in a hotel room with boys that she didn't know. So parents, be parents before it's too late, man. Nobody want to hear about no protest, because right now y'all talking about justice, but there's no way to get justice from somebody. The injustice came from the mother not being a mother. And I don't care if the girl was 19 years old. That's when you really need to amp up your parenting skills, is once your children feel like they old enough to do what they want to do. So, you know, are children, high school students here in Lexington at the high school age, are they already drinking lean and popping Molly?
It was a 16-year-old last year that overdosed on heroin. So what ain't they doing is a better question. It ain't are they doing it, it's what they doing, how much of it are they doing. They got access to everything we got.
What do you think they, because you know old boy from that spoke at that little conference we had, it was talking about you can't go down a block in Chicago without teens 13 and up with the styrofoam cups with with the lean in it. You know, they already popped
Blade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I start thinking like, dang, I haven't seen it, but it don't mean it ain't being done. And then like he's talking about the kickbacks in Chicago. You know, then we having kickbacks here in Lexington. So it's like the culture is moving fast. So it's like, you know, parents, you know, watch out for your children and make sure they not popping mollies and drinking lean already. You look at Powell. If you watch Powell, keep up with Powell. Ghost son, he's linked up with some bad dudes, I guess you could say, with old 50, and they had him strung out on the lean.
You don't have to, but if you look at that situation, all they had to do was introduce it to him. He wanted to do it. He went back, hey, I need some more. When 50 wasn't even around, he run up to on the little chick, hey man, fix me a cup of lean.
But
these kids are the same way. So in Lexington, they may not be. You got to look at the drugs of choice in certain regions, certain areas. If you go to D.C., you know, they're going to be on the boat. They're going to be on all that type of stuff. If you in Lexington, cocaine is king. If you don't think these 16-year-old kids is doing cocaine, then you out your daggone mind. If you don't think they popping pills, you out your mind. They may not be sipping the lean per se, but codeine metabolizing your body is morphine. If I'm popping Percocets, it metabolizes in my body the exact same way, except it's Percocets are stronger than morphine. So lean may be bad, but heck, when these kids is popping pills, the pills they popping are stronger than the morphine. It's stronger than the codeine.
We got John's son in the building. You just dropped your daughter off not too long ago at college. Mm-hmm. What conversations did you have with your daughter as you dropping her off, understanding the culture of college?
The thing with her is she's always been like a leader. So it's like a whole lot of people might do things, but she don't always jump on the same things everybody else do. Now, drinking, that's expected. But as far as like doing like a bunch of hardcore drugs, I don't see her doing that. I mean, she's in her second year now. Her grades is pretty good. You know, we just now got back from her yesterday for a little family weekend event they had down there. But I mean, she's all right, she's just doing the normal college girl thing. I mean, she's not all over the place. That's one thing I can say, you know. But I see a whole lot of other people, you know, on their little social media and stuff. And I think they done got like a little bit too loose. But we just constantly just stay on them, you know. Like if we see something we think is out of line, because, you know, they broadcast everything on social media. So, you know, if we see something, hey, look, you need to tone that down, you know. But, I mean, you know, it's like, everybody got their own experiences. Your experience is what shapes you, what develops you. We had our experiences. That's what molded us into the men we are today. So sometimes you just got to fall back and just watch. You know what I'm saying? Then if it gets a little bit too deep, then, hey, you know, hey, you need to check yourself.
So you are on your daughter's social media page, and your daughter's on your social media page?
Yeah.
Show him the phone.
Hey, but you know.
He got the phone.
I said that is because I've talked to some parents, and they like, my daughter's not going to be on my social media page. My son's not going to be on my social media page meddling with what I'm doing. So it's just like, so if your children aren't allowed to be on your social media page as a parent, what type of activity are you promoting, for one? And then for two, how can you possibly keep up with your children knowing that children can't even carry on a conversation. I think me and Corey had a conversation about that a couple days ago about how children, our youth today, are so socially awkward that they cannot carry on a conversation because they're so used to texting.
So when they talk with an attitude and don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. They tone is tore up. They rolling their ass, they rolling their neck. And you got, hold up, watch your tone. You know, what you mean mugging for? I mean, I go through that daily, you know what I'm saying, with my high schooler, daily.
But they haven't had enough conversations to pick up on social cues.
Yeah,
so when I'm talking to you and I'm looking you face to face, I can tell your emotions. So he's smiling, he's cool right now.
Yeah.
Brendan laid back. You don't get that from a text message. So, man, I don't care, I'll be right back. I can have all the attitude I want on a text message. It don't get across. So then when I have a real conversation, it plays out like that. But you was talking about the social media thing with parents. Do you know how many adult females, queens, I'm talking about queens now, I'm not talking about scrags, I ain't talking about hoes, I'm talking about queens. You know how many queens I see on Facebook posts? I need some D. I need somebody to come over and slay me.
Well, they half naked.
I just wanna choke on something. I just wanna swallow something. I mean, man, yes, my page goes ham. So when I see one time, I'm not lying to you.
What kind of friends does Corey have over? I
have Facebook friends.
Hey, man.
I have real ones. I have real Facebook friends. Well, one time, one of the situations was, it was a situation where it was a sexual conversation and the child was engaging in a conversation with the parents. I'm about, Mom, come on, man. This is Facebook. I can see you. Mom, you know I can see this, right? Well, you shouldn't be meddling. You shouldn't be asking or propositioning yourself. You putting yourself out on the market on an internet on an international website.
I guess I don't have those problems because even though I monitor my children's Facebook pages and multimedia accounts, I have an overseer as well. My wife monitors my accounts, and if she sees something on there that she don't like or something that ain't right, hey, delete. Delete and block, and you know I'm cool with that. She's got my accounts, and she goes through it. And if something ain't on there, she might bring it to my attention. Like, you know, somebody's out liking an awful lot of your comments. They doing this and they doing too much, because you know how girls they like to sneak, man. They not my wife, but other girls on Facebook. You know, they see that we putting in work in the community, so then they want to kind of slide in your inbox and you know need help this way and need help that way. And me as a advocate, you know, I'm always willing to help, and sometimes I guess I'm a little naive and don't know the game too much, so that's why it's always good to have an overseer to make sure that they monitoring that multimedia page and say, nah, this girl right here a fraud. You know, you got check at delete.
Hey, here's what you
go ahead and delete it for
me. Respond to them like this. Me and Tara will be on our way. Hey, call me and my wife, and we can come over and we can set up a time that we can come. Yeah, me and my wife, we both gonna come. If they own the foolery, you know what? I'll just call Brandon.
Heck, they'd be open to what you just said. You and your wife are both gonna come. Now, you gotta clean it up. This is a family show, you know, and you took it all the way far left.
So now, you took that far left because you in. Now you on Facebook. Matter of fact, ain't he one of my Facebook friends?
Man, you got cleaned that up. This is a family show, man. But let's get into this this American flag thing, man. Because you know, looking at all of this, it's action, man. And even with Josh's son in the building, I seen where your wife posted something about your daughter
last year.
Last year would have to pull a clip if she didn't stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
Pull a clip. All the little things.
You know how they got the colors and blue and green and all that? Yeah, but she wouldn't stand. And the reason why is because we talked to her, you know, before she even started. Like, you know, this is what they going to have you do. This is the reason why I don't stand when I go to your brother's games. You know, we just broke it down to her. So she's like, Daddy, do I have to stand? I'm like, do you want to stand? She didn't want to after I talked to her, you know. I mean, I gave her the option because I didn't want to, you know what I'm saying, have no conflict with no school. So she was like, no, I don't want to stand. So you don't have to. The teacher has a problem with it, you tell him to talk to me.
Right.
So that was a note. My wife called me. We got a problem. What? They try to, you know, knock her color down. All right, cool. Well, I don't know if she went over there or she called or sent a note, but she didn't have to stand no more.
So what did you...
And we never had that problem as kids. Honestly, like, no, we was raised as Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
So if you say, my kids are Jehovah's Witnesses, it's understood through the entire nation. oh, them kids ain't gonna stand. They don't have to go to Christmas. They don't have to do none of that stuff.
They asked us. They was like, is this for a religious purpose? No, it's because I said so. You know, simple as that. Because I said so.
See, they have to respect
religion. I don't stand.
They don't have to respect.
I haven't stood for 22 years, and I won't stand. You know, it's not like it's just since 2016. Oh, Colin Kaepernick, he did this. Nah, ever since I watched Higher Learning in 1995, and I looked into it like, makes sense. And I sit there and think about the history. So my thing is, the way I feel, the way Keith Johnson Coleman feels, you know, if you standing for a flag, you over pledging allegiance, got your hand over your heart and all this and all, it's the same as worshiping a piece of fabric. I won't do it. And then I sit there and think about what that fabric represents. It don't mean nothing to me. I mean, so why am I going to stand for it? Why am I going to put my hand over my chest? Why am I going to sing the song? Why am I going to say I pledge allegiance to the flag? I don't pledge nothing to it.
But let me give a little background history for the folks out there that don't know. The Pledge of Allegiance was published in 1892 to commemorate the 400th anniversary of Christopher Columbus's voyage to America. Christopher Columbus, a lot of folks don't know Christopher Columbus and his dealings. That man is killed and was responsible for killing millions of people, putting his dogs on people and eating them alive for sport. People killing people through slavery by overworking them. So Christopher Columbus, you know, we got a Columbus Day.
Rapist.
I mean, you know, Christopher Columbus was a typical white supremacist. Typical white supremacist, you know, a typical Donald Trump. That's what Christopher Columbus was. But what do you what was the conversation that you had with your daughter, your sons? Because I know with me, I told my children it wasn't an option. You better not stand. And then, you know, I let them know, you know, kind of hit them with that scare tactic. If I see you standing, and I creep up on you, and you and are standing, it's gonna be an issue. Because me, the same thing that you said, I had a conversation with my wife earlier today, and she said she didn't look at it more so as like worship. But, you know, when you pledge your allegiance.
Why?
Why? Well, she just said she didn't. What do you mean? Why did she look at it as worship?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if she, I know she's listening. Dina, if you're listening, you can call in and let us know why you don't feel like it's worship. So you can look at by calling in 859-721-5690, and you could explain as to why. But me, I did look at it as idol worship, you know, of America, because I can't stand. I was never patriotic. Couldn't stand anything about America and how they operated, just simply because of the way they treated me in school. You could say, well, I was a little busy. I was bad, but no, man, screw that, man. They said I was back in the day. You know, what was it? Militant. Back in the day when I was young, I was always militant. No, I just didn't rock like that.
No. Here's my thing about the Pledge of Allegiance, that I really don't even care about the Pledge of Allegiance. It's five sentences or something. I don't know. But what the Pledge of Allegiance does to your subconscious mind goes much deeper than those words that you say. So you don't look at it as religion because you don't see it in church. You associate church, if you're a Christian, which majority of us are, we associate church with religion. So, you know, crosses, Jesus, that is religion. You don't look at religion as a strong held belief. You also are not aware that 95% of our unconscious beliefs are programmed before we are 7 years old. So when you start school at 5, 6, 7, you've already been indoctrinated with the belief that this is appropriate, that this is correct. All you're saying is the words. What you don't realize is that subconsciously, you say it every single day. That makes it a mantra, right?
Obedient to
Om, you know what I mean? It's a mantra. So if you keep saying it over and over and over, it's the same way how we used to rap Tupac and Biggie and No Limit and all that stuff. I pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Now, subconsciously, you are programming your brain after 21 days. You do this 21 times. So after 21 school days of pledging allegiance to the flag, you have programmed your brain to believe that you are to pledge your allegiance to the flag and the nation for which it stands, one nation under God. So now we have a country under God. You don't think about it as religion, even though God is mentioned in the freaking sentences, because you are programmed as a child. So as an adult, you will defend that flag and your right to worship the flag, to stand by the flag, to honor the flag and all the wonderful stuff that it represents, you've been bamboozled by the time you was 5, 6, 7. So when you continue to do the Pledge of Allegiance in 12th grade, it ain't nothing to you. You just go through it and you don't even think about it. You can say the Pledge of Allegiance. You ain't never said the Pledge of Allegiance. I ain't never said the Pledge of Allegiance. So how come we know it? We heard it that much. And even though we don't say it, it's still programmed into our mind. But those who do say it without knowing what they're saying are doing that much more work to program their subconscious mind to believe that the United States is the everything and we are supposed to fall in line. We are supposed to listen to them. We are supposed to agree with it. So as a black person, hell no, you shouldn't say the Pledge of Allegiance. As a white person, hell no, you shouldn't say the Pledge of Allegiance. As a Christian, hell no. As a Muslim, as a Jew, as any other, a 5%er, as a Jehovah's Witness, and whatever your religious belief is, if you're not, if American is not your religion, no pledge.
So are you saying that America is a religion?
Yes.
Or the pledge is a religion?
In Kentucky, we bleed blue, right?
No.
Well, America, I bleed blue. I'm a red-blooded American.
You know, I will, blue nation for everybody out there.
Okay,
too.
If I walk out here in the middle of Main Street and I set an American flag on fire, is it likely that somebody is gonna stand up and say something?
Oh yeah,
they hold it so true. They hold that flag so true to their heart that the average dude who I cuss out and call his wife everything under the sun wouldn't bust a grape. Burn that flag and see what happens. They will get courage like no other because you are burning their God. It is what it is.
Worship.
So yeah, y'all go ahead and pledge allegiance to a piece of cloth.
That's another thing that gets me is the people out there that say people died, fought, and died for the flag. It's like, did they really fight and die for the flag, or did they fight and die for their country or their people? Does the flag represent their people, or does the flag represent its own interests?
It represents the people. So that flag is responsible for killing 500,000 people over there in Japan and in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That flag is responsible for killing half the people over in Africa. That flag is responsible for the death of Gaddafi. That flag is responsible for the turmoil in the Middle East. That flag is responsible for all the dead bodies in the ocean after the fact, because America was established for a while before they stopped the slave trade. So all the problems that we have, all the poverty around the world, all these third world countries that shouldn't be third world countries because it was America that stopped them from developing. Yeah, that flag gets around. That flag means a whole lot more. And if you go anywhere outside of this raggedy landmass, don't nobody respect that flag.
Yeah, well, they don't in France. But check this out. This right here is from a Marine veteran. My cousin posted this yesterday. And he said there's a whole lot of disrespect for the flag that goes on or whatever. But in the United States Code, Title 36, Chapter 10, not one time does it say that kneeling is disrespect. It's from a Marine vet. And I posted it, and it's got everything. Like, it's a whole lot to read, but not one time does it say it's disrespectful to take a knee.
Well, it says West Virginia versus Barnett, 1943. I forgot what court it was in, but it was a person cannot be required to recite the pledge or any specific part of the Pledge of Allegiance. So that's law. That's case law. You know, so for the folks out there that say that you have to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, you have to stand for the national anthem, you know, that goes back to that white supremacist belief that basically you do what I tell you to do, and if I believe in it, you should believe in it too, and you ain't got no say in the matter. Just like Donald Trump talking about, the owners should make the players stand. You know, you got old boy from the Cowboys talking about if his players don't stand, that they gonna be fired. Well, the league's 70% non-European. So what happens if somebody on the Cowboys team and the whole Cowboys organization, well, heck, just take the non-Europeans. Y'all not gonna have a squad. Y'all not gonna have a quarterback. Y'all not gonna have a running back.
Man.
So if everybody in the NFL, non-European, walked out, there would not be an NFL anymore.
Are we getting to the Willie Lynch syndrome? Yeah. Because that's exactly what you're describing. You got a bunch of Negroes who tell. Now here's why I don't support the boycott. Honestly, I do not support the boycott. I don't watch football, so I'm not losing nothing. I don't spend no money on the NFL, so you know I'm not giving them. They're not gaining anything from me. But at the same time, I ain't studying that boycott because you gonna tell me I can't watch football, but 70% of the league is black and they show up to work every day. Y'all want, they the ones that have the power. So if Dak, Zeke and all them knuckleheads, if they decide, you know what, we ain't gonna go to work today. Instantaneously, Cap would have a job and anything other demands that they want would work. Look how long an NBA lockout lasted.
Half a season.
And they was real quick to get everything together, right? Because who was losing money? The players were still getting paid. They under contract. You gotta pay them. You gotta pay the players. The owners are the ones that's not making no money when there's a boycott. So what they need to be doing is saying, you know what? Ain't none of us gonna show up. But once again, you got these individually minded Negroes that we call NFL stars. Remember that poem your boy did at the Umar Johnson.
Umar Johnson, yeah. NBA.
I mean, and
the
that's
trail.
And
the auction block.
And that's exactly what it is. They slaves. So when your boy Trump says he should make them, my question is, are you going to be weak enough to let somebody make you do anything?
Majority of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me tell you because something I thought was funny, though, was the NASCAR owners. They told them if anybody disrespect the flag or whatever, they was fired on site. Who cares? Who expected them to even stand up and make a stand? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, they ain't our people. You
exactly.
Know.
And they trying to make this national head. It was in the Herald Leader today. And I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, I mean, I wasn't expecting them to do nothing.
But all them say the Pledge of Allegiance anyway.
Exactly.
Those will be the ones who fight you if you say something disrespectful to that flag.
See, exactly. That's that propaganda. That's that division talk. They want to put that out there to try to put us against them, but it's already that way.
NASCAR's on board with Trump. Y'all better get on board too, basically.
Man, black folks don't watch NASCAR.
I started watching NASCAR when
you was locked up.
Yeah, you had to.
When Earnhardt had that wreck and he died.
Yeah,
Now it's morbid, but that's the reason why I started watching. Yes, man, I was locked up at the time. I was incarcerated
at
the time.
And watching those cars wreck.
I call them the redneck games, man. They sit there and watch cars going around in circles.
It's the reason it's a Bush series and not Budweiser series.
Why is that?
Bush is the country low-end beer. So they sell Bush's NASCAR, the Bush series. You know, they got Budweiser. It's all owned by the same company. So when we put Bush out there, that's like saying Coke 45 for you know, for hydraulic competitions. You know what I mean? Like Bush, it's country boy beer. They put Hunting and NASCAR on their beer cans every year. We work there.
Yeah, on Somerset, it's where it's gonna hit the hardest.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not for us. You wouldn't expect them not to do nothing like that. But even that to me is the Willie Lynch syndrome. Honestly, you know, everybody puts Willie Lynch on black folks. And I can't agree with the Willie Lynch folks, the Willie Lynch syndrome only affecting melanated people because it affects every single body in the United States of America, whether you want to admit it or not.
So since you're talking about the Willie Lynch syndrome, let's go ahead and get into this Willie Lynch. But a lot of times we talk about Willie Lynch and a lot of people out there honestly don't know what it is. So check this out, listen to it, and then we'll dissect this Willie Lynch syndrome after y'all hear the Willie Lynch letter.
I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented, as our boat sails south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish. I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you were here using the tree and the rope on occasions. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. And you're not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit, you suffer occasional fires, your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not have to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 400 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and I make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on the hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pitch the old versus the old black male versus the young black male. The young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves, and the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male, and the male versus the female. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all black. But it's necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Gentlemen, these kids are your keys to control them. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Comments. How do you feel about that? Let's go ahead and dissect that from the standpoint of, well, let's look at it this way. First thing they said was age, color, sex, and status. What do you want to take a hit at first?
In the black community or in America as a whole?
Either one. Either one.
Because in America, I'm going to say sex. I got to go with sex. How many conversations have we had in this room where it's the males versus the females beefing? Black men and black women still ain't got it. We had it together. Even since the so-called Willie Lynch letter, we had it together, but now we're falling apart. Black women and they liberation movement. Black women and they feminist movement. Black women and we should be able to do everything we can. Black women and we shouldn't allow our men to dictate or tell us what to do. Black women and God is not a man anymore. So this whole battle of the sexes is killing the black community. As a result, we have no fathers in the home. So when males and females fight, the black woman will say, I don't need a ninja for nothing, and at the same daggone time run to the white man and say, please give me everything I qualify for. So heck yeah, it's working.
Yeah, putting the female against the male against the female.
And the male the same way. I mean, it's not just the females, because the dudes is, oh, all she wants is my child support. All she wants, well, you should be paying your child. You shouldn't be paying child support. You should be taking care of your kids. But you're not. You see what I'm saying? So it's the, oh, them bitter bees over there. And then on the flip side is the deadbeat daddies and all them over there, them no good ninjas over. So instead of saying, you know what, I love you and you love me, we got the exact opposite.
So when you have a male going against a female going against a male, let's see, I don't know if this letter, the Willie Lynch letter, has been authenticated or not, but it's definitely a divide, and somebody created that divide. So was white supremacy the divide? Where did the divide come in at to create this division amongst us as a people? Because if we don't know, how can we fix the issue?
Honestly, I would say the Willie Lynch letter is a symbol and symptoms of American society as a whole, which is based largely on white supremacist power structure. In order for the white supremacists to continue to have control, they have to divide and conquer. So it's not just black people. Black people don't get along with white folks. White folks don't get along with nobody. So the white people don't get along with each other unless they're beefing with blacks or Hispanics or Muslims. So when you look at it from that standpoint, it's got to be a white supremacist systematic situation, because they talking about controlling the masses. Who controls the masses? White people don't have the power to control the masses. Some dumb dude from Virginia named Willie Lynch probably ain't have that much sense and that much foresight to be able to think of a way to control people for 400 years. It never happened in the past. So you see what I'm saying? It's like, come on, man. Like it never happened in the past to the capacity it happened in America. However, that Willie Lynch syndrome has never... It started in ancient Babylon. I can show you in Babylon. I can show you how the Egyptians thought they was better than the Hebrews, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and everybody else around them. So the concept is nothing new. It's just putting it into white supremacy and saying that we're the controlling group.
So when you're looking at folks as being our sisters, as being pro-black, which they should, being strong, which they should, but when you see the division to where it becomes a feminist movement, or it's our movement, or this is what our people are doing, if that's drawing division, can we look at our sisters as even being free?
They not down for the cause, and they not for us. And I'm gonna tell you why. The sisters who say they all about girl power. Mind you, I got a house full of little girls. So I'm all about girl power too. Woman power. You see what I'm saying? But these women, they all focused on us and girls, and we need to get equal pay, and we need to be respected, and we need to this and that. And guess what? Short bus test tube, baby. Because I, for being on the radio, I can't say the words that I really, really want to say, because I'm passionate about this situation. If the women get all their rights, black women get all the stuff that the white women and all the other women are asking for, does it change the fact that black men are still going to be at the bottom of the barrel and still being mistreated, and they look to us to provide for them? If every black woman, for the most part, they have the highest expectations when it comes to marriage. They want the most money. They want the most educated man. They want the most handsome man. They also want the most thuggish and most gangster and all that. They want it all. They want what Chili wants. Realistically speaking, it's hard to get. So when they going through all that stuff, wouldn't it make sense for them, if they expect a man to take care of them, they expect a man to buy a house, wouldn't it seem like that movement that they support should be more along the lines of supporting the black males, because the black males are the ones that they expect to take care of them? But no, the black women are saying it's all about me and us. But in the meantime, if we found one of y'all, we want y'all to take care of us. But y'all, you see what I'm saying?
So that's basically saying when it becomes, instead of inclusive, it's about us, it becomes a slave mentality type of thing, to where, you know, as division. We got a phone call on her. You on the line, you on Blackout. Well, you on the line, you on Blackout Radio. What is going on? Who is this that we have the pleasure of speaking with?
You on Blackout.
This is Dina.
Dina, hey, what's up, sister? Anybody that don't know, Dina is Dina Dunn is my wife. So, you know, tread lightly, because you know I don't want to.
It's the first lady.
Go in on you on this. So you know, be easy, sister. What's going on with you?
Well, I wasn't gonna call in at first when I heard you mention my name. But then you got your brother on here talking about black women and their role and the reason why, you know, the black family is breaking up has a lot to do with black women and basically their loss of respect for the black man. And I just feel like that's all wrong. I feel like the reason that the black household is falling apart is because the black man has lost control of his household and his environment, and he's unable to keep his team together. So I think that's something that you should think about. Black women. No, these households are falling apart because they have no head. And if you want to claim to be the head of household, you need to be the head of household. And that's maintaining your household. That's being there financially. Yes, she may not. The black woman, you say, wants the richest man, wants this, wants that. Well, no, she wants it all. You're supposed to be there to give her everything. You're supposed to be there to create this life with her and this world with her. And you're not holding up your end of the bargain, black man. So I don't know. I just feel like y'all putting so much on black women as if she's the downfall. She's responsible for the downfall of the black community. Yeah, you had an awful lot to say.
I don't think the black woman is responsible for the downfall. I think the lack of spirituality is responsible for the downfall of the black family.
That. You didn't mention spirituality. What you said was basically her wanting more money, wanting the finest guy, her wanting the best guy that has this, the best guy that has that.
May I ask a question?
I didn't have a question.
I'm saying, may I ask you a question?
Oh, yeah.
If 74% of children are born out of wedlock, 74% of black children are born out of wedlock.
That's because the black man didn't marry her.
Because she gave up the booty before he gave her a ring.
He decided to take the booty.
You know when you're about to take
your date home for the night or whatever. You know what you're planning on doing.
Dina, can I say this, please? Look, there was one time when I was young and wild.
You need to stop. No, I don't want to hear that.
I told a sister, I said, baby girl, I'm going to talk you out your drawers. You going to give me some, and I'm not going to call you tomorrow. You know what the sister did? You going to call me tomorrow, right?
Okay, that was...
I told the girl, I will not call you tomorrow.
All the way around the world.
And about 9 o'clock that night, the next night, she called me and said, you really wasn't going to call me.
Hey, everybody, you are now listening and hearing the Willie Lynch syndrome live. This is what Willie Lynch has done to us. Sister, I love you, and I will talk to you when I get home.
Listen, Brandon, no.
Between y'all two, y'all are dividing us as a people.
Brandon, now listen, so if this is what Willie Lynch has done, right, and I call in to give my response to Corey's remarks, and he doesn't accept what I say and take it into consideration, he is the problem. He is supposed to be the head of everything. You're the head, you're the ruler, you're supposed to be the boss. You take what somebody says to you and you think about it and you put yourself in that position. But what you're doing is you're talking about everything that women, black women, are doing wrong. So just think about that.
May I ask you a question, Dina?
I was probably almost over and I'm gone. Bye, y'all.
In response to that, I will say this on a psychological level. Because I am a man, I belong to the group of males. Because I don't belong to the female group, females will often, since I'm not part of their group, they will want to counter what I say. It doesn't change the fact that it's true. So, now, I did leave out things about males. Males are not responsible. Men are not, you know, staying and getting married, largely because they don't have to. You know what I mean? I mean, like, honestly speaking, what guy says, you know what? There's twice as many women out there as men, but I want to pick just one. I want to go home and stay home with that one, that just that one right there every single day. I want her to tell me when I can come, when I can go. I want her to tell me what kind of clothes I have to wear, who I hang out with. I want her to think everything about my life for the next umpteen years until I die from working myself to death to provide all the unnecessary things that she wants.
So when we looking at the Willie Lynch syndrome, and white supremacy, what's the biggest destruction of us as a people? Has it been the divide between the female versus the male? Has it been the divide between age? Or has it been the divide between color? Which one would you look at?
At this point right now in 2017, it's everything. I mean, if you look at that, if you break it all the way down, you know, male against a female against male, all that, old, young, old, all that. I mean, that's the format. I mean, they had the perfect format right there to divide everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got this little set here, this little set here, this little set there. We hate them, but we'll G with them, but we hate them over there, even though they like them. So now they like them, now we hate them. I mean, I don't know, man. It's like, I just look at everything. I just sit back and observe a whole lot of things. Like, when I'm at work, I'm in the cafeteria, I see how certain people, at certain times, they'll hang with this person just because this person don't like this person. They won't speak to him, you know, the next break. But then when they out on the floor, what's up, blah, 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 blah. And they packing stuff back and forth. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm in high school. I mean, but like I said, it's a divide, and it's not just with black people, white people, the Mexicans, everybody's like that.
Yeah.
And then people's always like, why you always just go sit back and just look at your tablet all the time? Because I ain't got time for the foolishness, man. You know, I got my little TV thing on my tablet. When I go to break, I break. I break away from everybody and everything.
Right.
I mean, I don't have time for it.
I got a question for you, Mr. Mayor. You asked which one has the most impact, right?
Right.
I'd like to ask you this. Wasn't the Willie Lynch letter, or whatever the Willie Lynch letter was supposed to be, an American document?
Yep.
Do they have the Willie Lynch letter in India?
Nope.
Do they have a caste system in India almost exactly the same as America? Do they also have it in Mexico? Do they also have it in Brazil? Do they also have it around the world? So when we start talking about the Willie Lynch letter, it's a piece of paper. It's a document. It's nothing. The mentality has been used throughout history from the beginning of time. Since Nimrod and the daggone Babylonians to Egypt. So I don't think race is the biggest issue. I think that in America, that's one of the biggest issues, because due to race, that limits your education and your economics, which then causes that many more problems. So your problems will be magnified as a result of race. However, the white folks still deal with the same Willie Lynch problems we do.
But then when you look at white supremacy, if white supremacy is the person or the structure that has created the syndrome that so many people are going, that are falling victim to, aren't these devilish people the ones that are running the entire world?
At, I mean,
in
point,
India, in China, everywhere, they're the ones that are creating this syndrome. Just like you look at the homosexual movement.
It's the Bilderberg group.
Man, before,
like, I can't argue with that either.
Okay, if you look at, like, in the history.
And Corey, because we got 5 minutes. Corey pointed to us and said we are the ones that created it.
Black people
created the Willie Lynch syndrome.
Yeah.
They use it as an excuse, man.
No, we didn't create the Willie Lynch syndrome. I'm saying the concept was used in ancient Babylon to control the people and the masses. You have to have a caste system. You can't have a king without having people beneath him. How the heck you think all them big structures in the Middle East got built? The pyramids and all that. That was because of a class system.
But didn't God create the caste system since he's a king?
No. So God only created two people, Adam and Eve, a man and a woman.
No, but he got angels.
Oh, you talking about a monarchy, the hierarchy and
What's
all that.
What's the difference between a monarchy and a caste system?
A caste system is discriminatory. God doesn't discriminate. So God doesn't say, angel, because you play music and because you're a warrior angel, you're better. They all angels to God. God is not partial.
Okay.
So in that sense, it's different, because a caste system is, I'm better than you. Not only am I better than you, I'm only eating because of you. So it's my come up is due to your downfall. That's white supremacy. White people only came up. So what they did is they took a concept that Africans had, the Egyptians, who they later taught to the Greeks, who they then taught to the Romans. The Romans go through all the Dark Ages and stuff. The Moors take over again. Then the white people say, you know what? We cannot tolerate being ruled by black people for another 800 years. That was the birth of white supremacy in 1492. After they kicked all the Moors out of Europe. Because Africans ran Europe for 800 years.
We only have like 2.5 minutes. Solutions. What is the solution to this Willie Lynch syndrome? What can be done? Because that is evident that there's a problem. There's a major issue between the non-European male and the non-European female in America, in our community, where people classified as black and African American. That is one of the, I think that divide is even bigger than our youth and the elderlies. I mean, because how can we get our youth together if the parents ain't on the same page?
We was at that meeting at the William Wells Brown, at brother to brother, last time. It was a brother who came in and spoke, and he said, y'all gotta understand, he was talking to BJ's age group. He's like, y'all gotta come together because y'all competing against each other for jobs. That's the problem. Why do I have to compete against BJ for a job when I can work with Keith, I can work with you, and we can all teach BJ? Now we are stronger as a unit. So instead of us having this individualized American mentality, all we have to do is go back to the village concept. I gotta take care of yours, because taking care of yours is taking care of mine. I gotta take care of his. Taking care of his is taking care of mine. He's gonna take care of mine and yours. And when we deal with that true concept of community, we be straight.
Now, before we get out of here, if we go to the village concept, does there have to be a hierarchy? There has to be leadership. So who determines who is more qualified to lead? Because, you know,
the people
in our society, and we say, okay,
the elders.
The elders, is it a man? Is it a woman? Because that's going to come into the village concept. I want to be alpha. I want to be omega. I want to be in charge. So can we have a village concept?
Only if people put their egos at the door. Leave their egos at the door.
If we teach the children his age about not standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance, then they don't want to do it. It's the next generation. This generation is lost. Our age group adults are screwed up mentally already because we passed the age of 7. We already pledge allegiance to the flag. We already hate other black people. We can't wait to you know, ish on each other. But I ain't never thought about helping another brother out. So, you know, I can very easily run up on Keith when he's having his fish fry and be like, man, look out for me. Let me get a discount price because I'm black. But when do we get to the point where we say, you know what, Keith, I'm going to support your business and pay every dollar you ask for because I'm black and because you black? It can happen. In fact, it happens in other countries. We just have a problem with it because we've adopted a white man's mentality. So it would take for us to go back to what we were prior to them and their foolishness in order to be successful in that movement.
But the same people go to Foot Locker and wait in line and pay top dollar for some Jordans.
And tell everybody how much they pay. So, but you
and licking the bottom of and all that old junk. Come on.
So when you look at the solutions, sometimes in order to go forward, you have to go back.
Sankofa.
Pond on that. This is Blackout Radio with the Dumb Boys. Ja's son in the booth. Lil Junior in the booth in here with us. We out.
Peace.